Welcome to Blessed to be a Blessing. We've been talking about we are blessed and we're blessed to be a blessing. This is session 7, and I'm going to finish here when talking about, okay, practically, I talked about last session about being fruitful. I can't make you be fruitful. You cannot be by someone else can't keep you from being fruitful. You determine whether or not you're going to be fruitful. Now, back to the Genesis passage. He said he blessed them, and he said, be fruitful, multiply, fill the earth, subdue, and have dominion. So really, that is God's plan for mankind. If we're going to be ambassadors for Christ, that's the different realms that we need to be involved in. So personal, family, church, business, work, and government. Those are the 4-5 realms. We need to be involved in all those. So the point of last session was to say that you determine whether or not you're going to be fruitful. If we understand that everything comes from that place, I can be fruitful because I can abide in Jesus. Once I'm rooted and grounded in Him, then that's what's going to come through. It's going to come through. Love's going to come through me, and I'm going to be a blessing. Then I move into these other realms. So what does that look like? Well, the family realm. Can you imagine what marriage would be like if the husband every day was determined to be a blessing to his wife? What if the wife determined every day, I'm going to be a blessing to my husband? I mean, I can just be many times we've talked to people about their marriage and, well, he's not doing this and she's not doing this and they won't do that, all these kinds of things. What about if you can imagine as a parent being a blessing to the children being a blessing to the parent? Wow. Can you imagine the kind of marriage and family units we would have? But it all boils down to, I'm going to have to abide in the vine. I'm going to have to abide in Jesus. I'm going to have the word flowing through me, and I'm going to have to be rooted and grounded in love and recognize that I'm a blessing. But if we will, then we will be a blessing. So can you imagine every day, all through the day, every decision I'm making is whether or not I'm going to be a blessing or not. I'm going to choose to be a blessing. I should say it that way. I mean, if everybody was like that, can you imagine the harmony that you'd have in the family? What about at church? What about if everybody came to church and said, I'm going to be a blessing today. I'm blessed. I'm going to be a blessing today. How can I serve? How can I help? How can I be a part? How can I get involved? I'm going to work in the children's ministry. I'm going to work with a small group. I'm going to clean up. I'm going to take care of. I'm going to usher. I'm going to be whatever. Instead of trying to vie for a position, I'm blessed. I'm going to be a blessing today. I'm going to use my gifts in the working with the children or the youth. I'm going to use my gifts in working with the praise and worship or maybe the technical part. But whatever the case is, when I go in with an attitude, I'm blessed to be a blessing. I can't wait to be a blessing. Can you imagine if the entire church moved in that? If everybody came, I'm going to be a blessing today. How can I be a blessing today? I'm going to serve. I'm going to bless. I'm going to love. I'm going to be kind-hearted. You know, just like I said, I'm going to be tender-hearted with everybody. Can you imagine what the church dynamics would be like if everybody came knowing they're blessed and they're going to be a blessing to somebody else? Wow, we'd just be a blessing unit. We'd be blessing all over the place. Same thing at work. Can you imagine if you went to work? I'm going to be a blessing today to my coworkers. I'm going to be a blessing today to my boss. I'm going to be a blessing today to those that are under me. I'm going to be a blessing. What does that look like? Well, I want to help them accomplish what they were created to accomplish. I want to be a blessing there. And so you can imagine that if we would actually live this way, the kind of blessing that we would, wow, what a blessing it would be. And so that's really what God is calling us to do. How can I be a blessing? I mean, think about it, just driving to work. I'm going to be a blessing today. I'm going to be a kind and polite driver. I'm not going to be the one that inches up and won't let somebody come in. I don't be the one that cuts somebody off. I'm not going to get upset because somebody cut me off. So I'm just saying there's an attitude here that God is trying to get us to recognize that if we begin to live this way, we will be light and salt to the world around us in a positive way. But it's because it has to come from what's real inside of you. You can't, otherwise you're just going to try to manipulate and try to make it happen. I'm going to try to be happy and joyful because I'm supposed to be happy and joyful. No, only unless you've got the joy of the Lord is your strength and recognize that it comes from that. So that's my whole point about being blessed to be a blessing. God is wanting us to really recognize we are blessed. And I'm blessed to be out there, wherever it is, whether I work in government or whether I work in the marketplace, whether I work at church, whether I work at home. The fact is, we are all called to work. And in that work is the way we express the very life and nature of Christ to the world around us. So all I'm saying is that think about blessing. We're blessed. We're blessed. Think about you being a blessing. Now, one of the things that people always ask is that, okay, well, how do we know for sure where we're supposed to do this? Well, let's take Jesus for our example. Jesus really showed us how to live, and we need to do the same thing that Jesus did. Point being, he picked 12 people. Now, you know, I'm going to read here in a few minutes, John 17, where he gives the report to the Father. But the reality is that he picked 12 people. And in that dynamics of that group, they obviously were his disciples. They lived with him and they went with him. That was where he poured his life into. Remember, he told parables. And they would say, why do you tell parables? He goes, well, for those that are outside, they get it all in parables. But to you, it has been given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven. So you who? His disciples. He said, I'll tell you. They said, well, explain this to us. And he would explain it to them. So the point is that God has put us in a garden, just like he put Adam and Eve in a garden, to tend the garden. The garden today are people. They're your family. The family is your natural family, and then there's the spiritual family that God has put you around. Sometimes they could be people you work with. Some they may not be. Could be sometimes people you play with. There may be you're involved in hobbies and all kinds of things. But the bottom line is, how do you know who's in your garden? Well, the same way that Jesus knew who was in his garden. You have to pray and ask him. And that's basically what he did. And now think about this. He had Judas in there as one of those that was in his garden that betrayed him. And in the 12 that he had, he basically had, you know, James and John and Peter seemed to be a little closer to him than some of the others. Or at least we get that out of Scripture. So it looks like that there was some order in there. James and John asked, see, can we sit at your right hand? Or their mother did. And they said, it's not for me to give. It's in the hands of the Father. So John was the beloved, would lay on his breast. Jesus would talk to him. Peter got the revelation. So there's a lot of dynamics in that. So it's not like everybody's at the same place, but it sure seemed like there were three that he was very, very close to. There were 12 that were, quote, his disciples that would follow him. And then there were 70 that he knew well enough to send out two by two to represent him. And then the upper room, there were 120. So you look at that, it's not so steadfast rule, but you think about the fact that God has put you in a garden. Not everybody in your natural family would necessarily be in that garden. Not everybody that you come in contact with, but not everybody you work with, not everybody. But ask God to show you, and where those people are there, begin to see, how do we connect? How do I connect to them? How can I be a blessing to them? And you know something? If you're a blessing to them, I guarantee they'll be a blessing to you. I mean, you cannot outgive God. And whatever you give and whatever you sow, you're going to reap. And so when you show mercy and love and grace and everything, it's going to come back to you. So that's the dynamics, I believe, that God created. And it doesn't mean that we ignore other people. No, but we have our circle that we're connected to. You cannot have an intimate group of 100 people. You only can have about 10 or 12 people that you know pretty well, and 70 that you know well enough to at least relate to. And that's really what Jesus did. Now, what I want to do, I want you to just read, this is John 17, and I will give you, this is Jesus's prayer, actually, what we call the Lord's Prayer. In Matthew, says, you know, he said, pray this way, my Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Well, that's not the Lord's Prayer. That's for us to pray. This is actually what we see in John 17 is Jesus giving his report to the Father. Now, he was blessed, and he was certainly a blessing. So he's our model to say, okay, this is what he did, and if he did this, then we should do the same thing. Beginning in chapter 17 of John, verse 1, that Jesus spoke these words, he lifted his eyes to heaven, and he said, Father. So he's praying to Father, the hour has come, glorify your Son, that your Son also may glorify you. Okay, let me just stop there. You understand what he's saying? You're not using the terms I've been using, but he's just saying, look, I'm blessed, so I can be a blessing. I mean, this is a blessing. You know, glorify. He said, hour has come, glorify your Son, that your Son may glorify you. It's that sowing and reaping deal. Look, he's blessed us to be a blessing. He's forgiven us so we can forgive. He extended mercy so we extend mercy. So this product of whatever you're given, then you can release. And if we understand the power of that sowing and reaping, we get to, you can't give away in what you don't have. So first you have to receive. You have to receive his mercy. You got to receive his love. You got to receive that blessing so then you can give it out. And that's what we've been talking about this entire series. So he says, as you have given him authority over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as you have given him. And this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have seen, whom you've sent. So the bottom line is, this is what he's saying. This is eternal life. It's not praying a prayer. It's a relationship with the living God. Now, do we need to pray a prayer? Yes. It says those who call upon the name of the Lord will be saved. And so, yes, we need to repent and pray a prayer. But we've done that, and we've had a lot of people going to church, and I'm not sure that they're actually born again. The issue is not doing some kind of going through the motion. The issue is knowing him. And that's what he says. He said, give eternal life to as many as you have given him. And this is eternal life, that they may know you. And that's really what God's called us. He called us into a relationship. So the whole point of everything we're sharing is that we really do know him. And you realize because he's blessed, we're blessed. Therefore, we're blessed to be a blessing. And that's what it's all about. This is Jesus. Now, this is Jesus' report to the Father. He says, I've glorified you on the earth. I finished the work which you've given me to do. Now, let me just sit there. He's glorified you. So it means he lived for the Father. He didn't live for himself. And he lived for others. So it wasn't about himself. Remember, he says, no one takes my life. I lay it down voluntarily for you. And so he didn't come to do his own will. He came to do the will of the Father who sent him. He said, I only say what I hear him say and only do what I see him do. I'm not here to do my own will. And so he's just saying, look, I glorified you on earth. I finished the work which you've given me to do. Interesting. So Jesus worked. Jesus had work. What was his work? Well, his work was besides going to the cross. Now, this is before the cross. So this is not talking about that work, because the work of redemption, the work of salvation, the work of forgiveness that he worked when he went to the cross is one work. No, the work that he had finished was him giving his life to those 12. That's the work we're talking about here. You've given me to do. And now, Father, glorify me together with yourself with the glory which I had before the world was. Verse 6. Now, this is where he gets very specific. I have manifested your name to the men who you've given me out of the world. They were yours. You gave them to me, and they have kept your word. Now, they have known that all things which you have given me are from you, for I have given to them the words which you've given me, and they have received them, and they know surely that I came forth from you, and they have believed that you sent me. And verse 9 says, I pray for them. I do not pray for the world, but for those who you've given to me that are yours. Very interesting. So Jesus' own report to the Father is basically saying, look, here's the bottom line. I kept those that you gave me. They were yours. I kept them. How did he keep them? In his name, he gave them the words, and he prayed for them. So we can do the same thing. You want to be a blessing? Want to be a blessing to a small group or group of people? Maybe it's your family. Maybe it's your 12. Maybe you have a small group. Maybe you lead a small group at your church. Maybe you could lead a small group at your office place. Maybe you lead a small group that's outside some way. But the fact of the matter is, Jesus' model is exactly what we do too. He said he manifested your name. How do you do that? He acted like Christ. He acted like Father. I mean, we act like Christ. We are a blessing. That's how. We're a blessing. 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 Bless every way we can. It's not about me. That's the problem, is about me. Me's the problem. But when I'm a blessing, I'm turning outward to bless those around me. And he gave them the word of God, and he prayed for them. Now, I want to tell you something. We can do that. Every one of us can do that. Every one of us can recognize that, look, I'm abiding in the vine, and I can be a blessing to those around me, and I can put together a group of people that I'm going to manifest the name of Jesus, which means I'm going to be a blessing. I'm going to look like Christ, act like Christ. I'm going to give them the word of God. I'm going to be an expression of the word and go back to the word to base everything that we do, and I can pray for them. We can do that. You can do that. You want to be a blessing? It's practical. It's not some kind of woo-woo stuff out there. No, it's very practical. Connect it to him, receive his love, receive his blessing, and be a blessing to the world around you. Now, I'm going to pray for us. I'm going to pray that God would help us to identify those people that we are a blessing to. Now, let me rephrase that. We're supposed to be a blessing to everybody. Be a blessing to people at the supermarket. Be a blessing to people wherever you may be. But really, when you think about what Jesus did, he modeled for us. He took those 12 and he poured into those 12. And you know, the sad thing is that one betrayed him and all the rest of them denied him, ran off. But the truth is that God knows that. He knew that was going to happen. Again, modeled it for us. So it's not about me. It's not about you. But it's about being a blessing to everybody you come in contact with. So I want to pray that God would help us to really, to recognize that we're blessed and recognize that, wow, we are here to be a blessing. So Father, in the name of Jesus, we're so grateful and thankful that we are blessed. We're blessed with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places in you. We're blessed to be a blessing. And I want to thank you, Lord, that you would, you modeled for us what that looks like. You showed us how does it actually work. And so I pray for everyone that watches this, and I pray that you'd help us to identify those people that we're supposed to pour our lives into. Just as you, Lord Jesus, prayed for the 12, and then you had the 70. Show us exactly the people that we're supposed to really be devoted to, dedicated to, and to be a blessing to. And we're supposed to be a blessing to everybody. We're just supposed to be a blessing because we're blessed. So I pray that ultimately, that Lord, you'd help us to understand we are a blessed people. We are blessed. And help us, Lord, to live from you just as you were motivated by love and we'd be motivated by love to be a blessing. So I pray, Lord, help us to be a blessing. We love you. We're so grateful and thankful that you blessed us. And Lord, I pray that, Lord, you'd help us to really begin to let blessings flow. Because if we will get in your stream and get in your flow, you know what happens? We get blessed. So, Lord, it's not about me, but it's all about you. And I thank you that, Lord, we are blessed to be a blessing. God bless you. In Jesus' name, amen.